show! You have all made it to the dance. You have all made it, nerd.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 372. And for the last time, thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. It is the series finale, baby. This is the last one. No more John of All Trades episodes. We are done. And you'd think I'd be sad about that, maybe, right? I'm not. I'm not even a little bit sad. You know what this is? This is a celebration. Let's send this motherfucker off Viking style, okay? To Valhalla we go. This show has been amazing. It is done, and I am ready for it to be done. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me be a part of your life. This is episode 372. That is but a fraction of the total episodes that I have done. I'm going to give you some numbers here a little bit later in the episode because they're really fun. But first, let's talk about why I haven't done a show since September 3rd. Before that, the last show that I had done was June 25th. That's two shows in what, 3 months? And I was going at a pretty good clip before that. A few shows in June, May, April. The cat died. I wrote a nice tribute to him. But the site has been kind of looking like an abandoned strip mall lately. Why is that? Well, there's three reasons here. And let's get into the first one. First one, 2024, I think, will go down as one of the most fucking terrible years in the history of my life. Now, here's where I tell you that everyone is ultimately okay. And I'm okay. My kids are okay. My wife's okay. My family's okay. I wasn't sure that was going to be the case for most of the year because things just kept happening. Health issues with parents, health issues with in-laws, health issues inside my immediate family. It was crisis after crisis after crisis, and I simply did not have it in me. When you podcast, fuck, when you create anything, literally anything at all, you are giving a piece of yourself. You are mining that which is already inside you, and you are showing it to the world. You're going, hey, I have this expression that I want to get out of me. I hope you enjoy it. My well was empty because I work in a creative industry, and every single ounce of creativity I had was going to my clients. I had none left, no extra. It was amazing that I even did that show in September. And if you remember it, I never intended that to be the last like interview I did in this format. But episode 371 was with Brian Forrester and Chris Rohde. They are the two head honchos at Uno Mas Taqueria. We sat there. I was drinking Pacifico. We're on their back porch. It was a really fun day. It was great. I'm like, I love this show. This is fantastic. You know, like I love sitting out here, just connecting with good people, having a drink, doing our thing. And I'm like, why don't I do this more? Oh, right. Because everything's fucking terrible. And I mean, I'm exaggerating here for effect, sort of. But it sure felt terrible for a lot of it. It was not a great year. It was a deeply frustrating year. It was a very sad year. I was listening to the band Make War a lot, who is a phenomenal band, and I love them, and I've written about them a ton here on the site. I think I even wrote about them in my annual like birthday list, the one that says 43, where I write about the year. And when I think about Make War and when I think about that year, I think about what lead singer Jose used to refer to his previous project as, and it was Sad and French, which is such a dope name, but also kind of how I was feeling, just, oh no, what? This is a terrible French accent, but this is why you come here, right, for my shitty accents, because I go totally unhinged, and I get into a fugue state when I'm recording these solo. But my God, crawling out of the hole that we were in, it took everything out of me. I didn't have shows in me, I didn't have blog posts. Anything that I did have, I was literally giving it to people who paid me for it. You know, when people say, like, you can't pay me enough to do that, that's literally how I felt. I was getting paid. They could pay me enough, but it was just enough. because normally I'm filled with ideas and I cannot wait to get them out there. This year, nope. It was just me grinding and grinding and grinding. And I also realized something else. This show is meant to be an escape. This is something that I do for fun. 11 years ago, next week, I launched this show. Can you fucking believe that? 11 years ago, this week, I launched John of All Trades. That was thrilling. That was absolutely thrilling when I was doing that. Because, let's see, it's March. My wife is roughly a month pregnant. Month and a half, I don't know. We found out early because we went through all that infertility again, which I've cataloged on this site, and I'm going to get into the stats with you here in a bit. But I remember thinking, if I don't do this now, I'm never, ever going to do this. This is never going to happen. And so I worked my ass off. I busted and hustled to get the show off the ground. And I remember I would be up like late at night. It would be like 10:30 at night or 11, and I'd be in my basement just like recording an intro for some show that I was doing because I didn't want to miss a week. And for a very long time, I did not miss any weeks. I had to prove to myself and to everyone else that I could do it. That is one thing I tell clients when I'm creating a podcast, and this bridges into my next point too. But I go, you know what you're signing up for, right? You're signing up for a monster that eats, that's always hungry, and never ever gets full. You have to keep feeding that monster. Now, I mean, you can do it any way you want. You can do it sparingly. You can just drop episodes willy-nilly. But what you're doing is you're eroding your own credibility when you do that. And I realize, I mean, I have enough baked in equity to this show to where I don't think anyone really gives a shit. They know what I do and who I am and all that. Like, I'm pretty well established in who I am. So me just sort of abandoning this show, it didn't feel good, but I also couldn't do it. Those first few years. So let's see here. We launched the show in 2014. I got written up and laid off in 2015. So I got to make this kind of my full-time gig. I got Westward Best of Denver in 2017. I got my first paying podcast client in 2018. Was that 2018? Yeah, that was 2018. And then from there, more podcast clients just kept coming. I was written up in the Denver Business Journal. I missed that one. I was written up in there in like 2016. So just like a series of markers that you can look at and go, okay, so we're growing. We're building this thing and just building it a fucking brick at a time. And so once 2018 rolled around and then 2019 and especially 2020, because podcasting really kind of kept me afloat during that, I lost almost all my client work. 2019, another shit year. That was great. 2020, even with the pandemic, I still say better than 2019 in many ways, which that's pretty grim. But 2020, I pick up some more podcast clients. At my height, and I think 22, I was producing like 12 shows, which is way too fucking many. It's also the reason like I don't generally listen to podcasts for fun. I mean, there are a handful of them that I do. But in general, no, I cannot listen to podcasts just for fun. Because people are like, oh, what podcast should I listen to? And I say, I have no fucking idea. Why would I know that? I spend all day with huge chunks of audio. The last thing I want to do in my free time, oh, hey, I'm done podcasting for the day. That's nice. I can take out my earphones. What should I do for fun? Oh, let's put these things back in and spend more time with fucking audio, much of which is produced way worse than I produce it. And I can't help but hear it, and that's frustrating. And so that's an existent, that's a me problem, okay? So don't worry about that. The point that I'm driving at here is, when I launched John of All Trades in 2014, and I got written up in the Denver Post in 2015, the writer, John Wenzel, who became a friend of mine after that, and it turns out our wives went to high school together, which I didn't know in advance of that, but regardless, he referred to John of All Trades as the rare business-oriented podcast. The rare business-oriented podcast. Think about how funny that sounds in 2025. Why? Because every fucking business out there has a podcast, and I know because I produce a bunch of them. And more to the point, a lot of these shows, structurally, tone-wise, topic-wise, are like John of All Trades episodes. Literally. I've produced like 3, 4, five, maybe even a half dozen of them that feel exactly like John of All Trades does, with different hosts, and they do their own thing, and it's great. But here's the bitch of it. They always say when you turn your hobby into a business, you got to find a new hobby. And buddy, that is incredibly true, because John of All Trades was something I was doing for fun. I've never made money on this show, at least not directly. I've never even tried. I don't want to. I like it the way it is. I like that it's just cool and that it exists and it's uncorrupted. I mean, I have my one sponsor, Four Degrees, and basically I just trade plugs of their business for them to host and do tech support for me. And it's my friend Zach, so he's helping me with the new project, which that's coming up later in the show too. But it's kind of the problem I had with podcasting in general, which is to say that, oh, hey, you're done working on podcasting for the day? You want to go listen to some podcasts for fun at night? Fuck no, I don't. Why would I want to do that? Similarly, oh, hey, you are working on three shows that are a lot like John of All Trades. What should you do for fun? Oh, let's go interview someone for John of All Trades. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Like, I don't want to anymore. Because the bottom line is this, and this is something that is just amazing to me, that I am grateful for every single day. John of All Trades did for me what I needed it to do. It legitimized me. It got me at bats. It turned me into a professional. And it turned a hobby into a business where I have a lot of control and a lot of agency over the type of work that I do and the people that I work with. And I can tell you, to a person, every single client that I have is someone that I deeply adore. And that makes me incredibly happy. And I think that's very, very rare. You don't always get to pick who you work with. I mean, shit, if you're inside a company, there's probably a whole filing cabinet full of assholes you would just as soon never, ever see again than bump into them in the break room one more time. Like, literally, the fact that I get to be in charge of this, to a certain extent, I mean, you're still beholden to the forces of the economy and whatever else, but this show did for me what I wanted it to do. I wanted to make this my job. I remember thinking, like, man, if I could just do podcasting for a living. This was when I was still doing corporate PR and just hating life and hating my fucking dumbass boss he's not listening to this. He never would. I don't think he even knows how to find it. I think he's retired in Florida, which, fuck him, whatever. As I'm dealing with that, I'm going, God, if I could just do podcasting for a living. And then I did podcasting for a living, and I go, all right, this is pretty dope. But it will burn you out. And it does have weird side effects that you're not anticipating. Namely, you might grow tired of your own show. So I was sick of my own brand. I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to. I go, I'm already doing this as a job. This is not something I can do for fun anymore. So that's why the site kind of sat empty for a bunch of months. How many months is that now? Six? Because, yeah, I did that episode September 3rd. I wrote something on October 4th, and that was it. That was the end of John of All Trades, ignominious as it was. Just sort of unceremoniously, I don't want to do this anymore. But this leads me into point number two. You couple the fact that I don't have a passion to do John of All Trades anymore. I don't want to interview people about their work. I don't even, like, I can barely even talk into a mic. I don't feel like doing that. I mean, I'm doing what I have to for work. Meanwhile, the country is in the throes of an election. On one side, you have Joe Biden, who eventually steps aside for his vice president, Kamala Harris. And on the other side, you have Donald Trump running for a third time. He won in 2016, lost in 2020, incited a riot and an insurrection that tried to overturn the results of the election, runs again in 2024. Now, this is much different than 2016, because at this point, we all know who Donald Trump is, for better or worse. And please don't give me a line of shit here about where I'm going to go with this. Just please take this in the spirit with which it's intended. I put that caveat out there because we're going to talk politics here at least a little bit. But Donald Trump is a known entity. He's a known quantity. You know exactly what you're getting. You know who he is. We have, 40 plus years of knowing who he is? My first exposure to Donald Trump was at WrestleMania 4 in 1988. I was 6 years old. It's at Trump Plaza It's the tournament where the Macho Man Randy Savage defeated the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase in the finals to win his first WWF championship. But he's sitting front row the entire time. The following year, they had WrestleMania 5 there. Once again, Trump is sitting in the front row. This is a man who has had a long and public feud with the likes of Rosie O'Donnell. This is a man who was on a TV show that I never saw even a single minute of, that was very popular and convinced the public that he was a business genius. And this is a man who I have already lived through 4 years of his presidency. Now, regardless of where you fall in the political spectrum, whether you like this man or not, I don't. I find him thoroughly contemptible. I think he is motivated solely by greed and narcissism, and anything that happens to be good for the country is accidental and incidental. That's my bias. That's what I believe. I'm just putting that out there so there's no confusion here. But maybe you see something else in him. Maybe you like the ancillary benefits that come from having this man in power. I don't care. Regardless of all that, Donald Trump sucks up a lot of cultural oxygen. It is all about him all the time. And I heard one of his former staffers say they wanted, Trump ordered them to think of each day as an episode of a television show. So how do you keep the ratings up? Well, that means a lot of chaos, a lot of unpredictability. You got to keep the storyline going forward. You got to keep putting twists and turns in there. I mean, he's very, very impulsive. Are we doing tariffs? Are we not? No one really knows because the answer seems to change day to day. And so when this man is in the public spotlight, which, by the way, those 4 years where Biden was in office, I know there was a lot of, I mean, we were still kind of in the pandemic at the early part of that. And then you had a whole side who really hated Biden as much as one side hates Donald Trump. It's all deeply annoying. It's all just extremely loud, very strident, and I find it exhausting. So part of me not doing any episodes, when you combine it with the fact that I'm like, yeah, I don't have a passion for this anymore, was my wish that more of the country occasionally would just shut the fuck up. Literally. Just shut the fuck up for once. I couldn't do social media. I think the internet is almost ruined now because we're in a place where everything is weaponized. We're in the middle of this reality show that we exist in. And it's like getting shouted at constantly. No matter what side you're on, it feels like everything is just life or death. And you're torn between going, you know, I just want to live my life and be happy and just save some of my sanity and my mental health. You're torn between that desire and the desire to be like, okay, no, this is fucking wrong and I have to speak up. I have to engage. I have to stay informed. I owe it to my fellow people. Whatever your motivation is, you have it, and you're sort of torn between two lovers there. You're caught between the moon and New York City. What other cliches can we come up with? Write your own. I don't give a shit. This show's over, so you're going to have to come up with your own cliches now. But I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, can everyone just shut the fuck up? I don't need to add to the discourse until I have something valuable to say. Something valuable to say. Which brings me to here. This is the last episode of John of All Trades. It is episode 372. Now I'm going to throw some stats at you. Here we go. Okay, prior to this, I had 420 total episodes. This is 372 of the numbered eps, but there are 421 counting this one. So there were 49 mini episodes. Most of those were like first job series. I went back and listened to a few of those just like as I was prepping for this. Those are really fun, man. They're like 4 minutes each, and it's just people telling goofy stories about their very first job. I love that series. I don't remember why I stopped doing it, but I probably got tired of producing it, honestly. Whatever. Okay. So you take 372 numbered episodes, call it an average runtime of 40 minutes, and I think that's being conservative because very few of them were less than 40. But almost all of them were more. Let's call it 40 just for the sake of this. The 49 mini episodes are about 4 minutes each. You add all that up, that's 15,000 minutes approximately. Or if you want to break it down into numbers that are a little smaller and a little bit more digestible, 104 days worth of content. 104 days worth of content. That's more than 3 months. If you started right now here on March 12th, That would take you into June, like the middle of June, of you just listening to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and now your kids are out of school, and you're fucking sick of my voice. I cannot imagine how sick of my voice you would be at that point. But seriously, 15,000 minutes or 104 days. Now, in addition to that, there are 444 blog posts on the site. That means total content, 865 individual posts on John of All Trades. That is a body of work that I am incredibly proud of. I cannot even properly contextualize that in my own mind. This show is ending, and it's probably going to take me some time for that to really sink in, but that's a fucking lot of work. And when I tell you that I created that content and I did it out of love and doing all sorts of stuff, you know, writing about my infertility, doing the top five fun Fridays, those were really cool. The 50 song countdown. Tales from MVT. We had just a ton of things that I was doing that was just fun. I was writing tributes to people that I loved. You know, everyone from, I wrote about the two cats, and those were desperately painful to write about just because I miss those little bastards so much. To even people like Robin Williams or Anthony Bourdain, just people culturally who kind of touched me. I hope this site just stays up as long as it can, because I like having it there and seeing like, yep, that was a phase of my life and it's beautiful, but it's over. I'm done with it. I don't have to put the shirt on anymore. I don't have to ask people about work if I don't want to. Because you know what? We talk about work way too much already. That is our lives. And one of the pitches for this show I always said was, the first question Americans usually ask each other is, what do you do? And we answered that question, what? Fucking 372 times approximately? That's a lot of jobs, man. That's a lot of work. I'm sick of talking about work. Like I said, next week, it'll be 11 years of talking about work. I want to talk about something other than work. And this is where something important comes in, that I finally have something important to say. Because you couple that with the fact that this country chose to elect Donald Trump again, knowing everything it knew about him, knowing who he was, how he's animated, and there was no like panacea to this one. You know, like Hillary ran a shit campaign in Wisconsin and Michigan and whatever. There was no like Jill Stein spoiling votes. Nothing like that. It was just a good chunk of the country looked at this man and said, yes, that. I want more of that. Which is a decision that I find largely unfathomable. But again, that's me. Doesn't really matter. What does matter to me is this. What I read was a lot of white, straight men, people who are in my demographic, are just pissed and animated by grievance. And I can't help but think, why? Why are you so fucking angry all the time? You're holding the keys to the stadium, bro. Like, as a white guy, this country is built for you. If you are white, straight, and cisgendered, this country is built in your image. And you have a guy in there who is doing everything that he can to make it even easier for you demographically, and you're still pissed. Why? What the fuck are you so angry about? And so I'm angry that they're angry, which I know is ridiculous and kind of an oxymoronic and maybe just plain stupid. But here's the point. It drives me to action. Because there's got to be a fucking counterpoint out there. When you, and I hesitate even dropping these names, but when you have people like Ben Shapiro or Jordan Peterson or Joe Rogan speaking to these men and going, yeah, you know what? The world has treated you really unfairly. Or this is bullshit. Or who are these people who are all uppity about this? What's up? Hey, what about us? Why not us? You know, like our friends are getting deplatformed. First of all, no, they're fucking not. Secondly, no one is shutting you up. You have gigantic audiences. And third, again, what the fuck are you so mad about? Why are you so upset? And I go, you know what? Instead of adding to that chorus of noise, because, again, I want everyone to shut the fuck up or be a positive change in this world. Take action. Be the change you want to see in this world. So that's what I'm fucking doing. This show's done, but I got another one coming right behind it. And it's called Off the Clock with John X. I'm hanging up the John of All Trades shirt. We ain't talking about work. We're talking about everything else. And what I hope to demonstrate by doing this show is that there's a different way. You know, I think about how lucky I am to have the people in my life that I do. And this show has facilitated me meeting some amazing people. My work has allowed me to meet amazing people. You heard me say how much I love my clients, and I do. And I work almost exclusively with women. So I'm very bro-y, right? Like, this is how I talk, this is how I think, this is how I look. I have a very sort of loud aesthetic in a lot of ways. I'm like a fucking frying pan to the face. So I'm like a dude. I'm a total bro. But I'm not pissed like that because I recognize my role in the world. I recognize who I need to be and who I should be treating well, which is everyone, until they break you off some goddamn disrespect. I'm getting off track here. The point is, I'm going to have conversations that I think matter, that are a counterpoint to all the anger, all the vitriol, all the grievance. White dudes animated so much by grievance. It is, in many ways, just absolutely fucking mortifying being a white straight cis man in this country right now. Because we literally have every advantage that there is, and so many of us are just so pissy. Just like, my penis, meh. And I hate that. I hate it. It's driving me crazy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get together with people that I love, and we're going to have conversations about I don't even know what. I got a few of them in the can. We're going to talk about our friendship. We're going to talk about vulnerability. We're going to talk about what scares us, what makes us angry, and how we resolve it. How do we address it? Talk about dadding. You know, like, I love being a girl dad. I think being a girl dad is phenomenal. I hate alpha bros, too, who are like, you want to be an alpha? You got to live this way. It's like, oh, what you're describing is what Fight Club is lampooning, which is to say that if you lean too far into your fucking masculine energy, the only thing that does is put you on the fast track to fascism. So congratulations. As soon as another man is telling you, like, you need to follow these rules. Jordan Peterson's book is like, I think it's even called The Rules or something. But, like, you need to follow these rules. It's like, what are you, my fucking drill sergeant? Get fucked. Okay? No way. This is bullshit. There are so many ways to exist and live in this world. And anyone telling you how to live is ridiculous. So I'm going to try and be the change I want to see in the world. I want to have conversations with people that I love. I want to express vulnerability. I want to demonstrate that there is a different way. That you can be a dude, a bro. Someone who is like, yep, my masculinity is not in question, but I'm also not a fucking asshole. Okay? So this got a little more heated than I thought, but apparently there's a burning passion underneath here that hasn't arisen in a while. And the reason is I'm sick of this format and I'm sick of the energy in this country. So I'm going to try and be the change I want to see in the world. You're going to hear a much different tone. This is the last John of All Trades. I promise you the first Off the Clock with John X that you hear will be a hell of a lot different. And it's great. I'm so excited for it. I cannot wait to share it with you. I want you to share it with the people in your circle. Because here's what else I know. Getting to do this for a living, just to have an artistic outlet, an outlet where no one tells me what I can and cannot do, what I can and cannot say, is a gift. I am incredibly blessed. I have an overabundance of good fortune that has led me to this. Sure, I work hard and I'm proud of what I do, but my God, to not recognize the support that I have, and yes, I know this is a dirty word, the privilege that I have, because not everyone has this kind of privilege, man, I am just infinitely grateful for it. I'm infinitely grateful for you. The fact that you are letting me into your life at all, for any reason, for any length of time, man, that's incredible. If you think of me, holy shit, like that sometimes is overwhelming to me. And so I'll leave you with this. This is kind of my last thought, and this is one of the things that actually indirectly inspired the show. I think so much of the grievance that we have right now is rooted in loneliness, because we have large digital communities and very small personal communities. Think about how often do you really get together with people? Fuck that. Not that question. How often do you talk to people on the phone? And I know if you're in Gen Z, you're probably having a panic attack right now because, and I don't know if this is overstated or not, but making a phone call really isn't that big a deal. In fact, it brightens your day. So I want to give a shout to my friend Carson, because for the longest time, he is the only one who would call me on the phone. He owns a painting business. He's been on this show. I don't know what episode number it was, but it was a couple of years ago. I think it was 21 that we did that show. But he would just call me because he's driving around town. He's going to gigs. And I suppose you can only listen to so much music, so many podcasts, and so many books on tape that you go, okay, I need a change in energy. He would just call me. And the only time anyone would call me is if like someone fucking died or if it was like an emergency. You know what I mean? So Carson just calls me up and I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? Or I'm like, what's up? And he goes, ah, nothing. Just driving. How you doing? And he would fucking just talk. We would just chit chat. And here's what I didn't register right away, but that eventually just really stayed with me. It's that I felt amazing after those conversations. I felt great because my friend just called and we bullshitted, just like we did when we were in high school. And damn it, we need more of that. And so that's also what I want these conversations to be. Connection, affection, adoration, mutual respect. You know, feeling like someone is there for you, that we're not so fucking alone in the world. Because you can go online, find a community of people who feel exactly like you do, and you all get pissed off together, but that's empty. To me, that is just so empty. It's so frustrating. So, the new show, Off the Clock with John X, it's going to be about connection. It's going to be about friendship. It's going to be great. I hope you love it. I'm already excited about it. I've recorded like, I don't know, three of these maybe already. I got a bunch more in the can. It's going to go live here in a couple of weeks. And I hope you come with me. John of All Trades will always be here. If there's a job you're curious about, just type it in the search. I'm sure I've done an episode on it. I mean, shit. 372 numbered episodes? It's a fucking lot. A few of them, you know, always rise to the surface, like Jim O'Hare from Parks and Recreation. That one was really exciting. Any of the musicians I talked to from Less Than Jake or Make War, the Frickashinas, No Bueno, Younger Than Neil, whoever, Bad Cop. I mean, shit. This has been a gift. Time for a new chapter. Time to move on. We're closing this one up. Ever forward. And thank you for taking this journey with me. 11 years, 15,000 minutes, something like 104 days. That's a long time to do anything. And if you were there for 5 minutes of it, or all of them, you have my infinite gratitude. Thank you for letting me do John of All Trades. We're going to wrap it up now. All right, let's play the fucking outro. The John of All Trades podcast is a production of Deft Communications. It remains to be Deft 10 years old this year. Phenomenal. I am so blessed. I love my life. It is fantastic. Go to Deft on the web, DEFTCOM.US. It's JOAT pod on the socials, but not for long. Those are all changing. Stay tuned to that. You'll see what those are coming up. And big thanks to 4Degrees, the number 4DEGRE.ES, for being my sponsor, for being there from the very beginning. And most of all, big thanks to my wife. Without Kristen, this show does not exist. She has been my consigliere. She has been my support. She has been my cheerleader. She is my favorite person. So have to give her a shout too. And she was also guest on this show. I think she was episode 200, maybe. But that's it for me. I'm getting out of here. There's no new shows to plug. The socials I already plugged, but that's stupid. The entire show will be archived. JohnOfAllTrades.us. That's J-O-N of AllTrades.us. And I will see you back very soon on the new show. We're going off the clock with John X. Wherever you are, I hope you're happy. I hope you're fulfilled. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And until I hear you again, and for the last time, say goodnight, Gracie.
That's good, Johnny.